Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Good morning, welcome to Thursday, and you're with Sam and Manu.
And no California Dreaming.
No California Dreaming anymore, sorry about that, but we can't play that song anymore.
Feels like death.
I know. Well, now it's officially the Sam and Manu show, no more California Dreaming.
Yeah, I guess so.
So we're going to have, but we'll have a nice introduction music and stuff. In a couple of days, you know, I just need to find some time. But I don't want to play just any song, you know, that has nothing to do with the show.
No, you have to find something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you dressed for summer today with a tank top and everything?
Yeah. You know what? Nice. This tank top was bought for me.
Yeah, a Minnie Mouse.
I know. I never wear this stuff. Ever. Really? Ever in my freaking life. Uh-huh. I have never worn anything with a Mickey Mouse on it. Or anything of the sort, let's put it that way.
Okay, so what has happened to change that?
Well, someone bought it for me, and so I had to wear it.
You had to wear it?
Yeah.
No, you don't have to wear
it. It's only a $5 singlet. anyways.
Yeah, Minnie Mouse.
Oh, it's Minnie Mouse with flowers.
Yeah, with flowers and the sun and everything.
You notice the flower and the sun is almost on my nipples.
Yeah, just above. Better than two fried eggs, right?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I've seen that T-shirt with two fried eggs on there. I'm like, no, that's untasteful. At least Minnie Mouse gives it a little bit more taste.
Yeah, there you go. You know what they say about drawings with the sun on them? Like, you know when kids draw pictures?
Yeah, and they always draw the sun.
The thing. Not always. And they say when they don't, they have a father issue. That's
really?
Like very interesting, yeah.
Ooh, I'll have to get someone to look into that.
Yeah. But I remember hearing that some time ago. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. You know,
I always drew the sun.
Really?
I remember very specifically.
Then good for you. Then you didn't have a problem in that area.
No.
Yeah, that's nice.
So what if you have issues with your mother? Then what do you draw?
I don't know. Good question.
A black hole? Oh, that was terrible.
Or a picture of a woman, picture of a woman with her ex on it. With an ex.
Oh, my God.
So you remember the caller from yesterday, Jane, that called us by accident? So she sent me like a really long email.
Right.
And describing like her whole situation and her story and stuff. And it's very fascinating. I hope she calls back so we can continue, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty interesting conversation we had with her yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes, it was.
And it's like, that's live radio, you know. By accident, she called here to ask how she can get her computer
to play. Yeah. And that was pretty cool. Yeah. So, do we have a guest?
Yes, today? We have a guest today.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's about?
Actually, he does a lot of things. So it's sort of like hard to focus on
one particular
thing. Yeah, but I think he does like coaching and training for people in the entertainment industry. So,
okay.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
It's always relevant. We don't just get any guest. Just anyone who's willing to come to the show.
Hey, but you never know what you pull out of the woodwork.
Yeah, exactly. Like cowgirls and
that
magicians.
That cowgirl. I'm still fascinated about that cowgirl. Yeah. Yeehaw. I really am.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was pretty interesting. And, Fumi, you know, she keeps popping into my mind. I've been reading her book, you know, with her poetry in it.
Oh, yeah?
And there is some really awesome poetry in there.
Really?
I mean, it's just something that you just keep flipping through. It's one of those, that kind of poetry being written there.
Yeah.
So it's, you can tell that it's really like pulling out deep-seated hurt, pain, all that kind of stuff. And then there's the political side. She's got very political, informative poetry, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Like gives a different perspective on situations.
Right.
And she writes on very many different levels.
Oh, cool.
About different things.
Cool.
So, I mean, that there
interesting.
Is...
You know,
yeah, it is very interesting.
I can't get into poetry that much. I mean, I never understand what the poems are about, you know.
Oh,
so much
yeah.
for English classes.
Well, no. But see, I mean, that's the beauty about poetry, I think. Some poetry I've read and go like, what the fuck does that mean? So then what it does, it makes you really stop and think, and then you can almost put your own interpretation to it.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know
I
what
suppose,
I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that might be a way, you know, I think that's one way to, you know, tap into someone's mind or
right.
start, like,
yeah.
doing things. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you read my poetry, it's very, like, out there, precise, what do you call them?
Like you don't beat around the
animans,
bush, huh? You're just like...
Animans as mm-hmm. well, you know, describing something that which means something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you write poetry
like,
too?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've got a couple of books. Not published books,
right.
but, you know, books, you know, like...
like a
writing
manuscript.
Books. Yeah.
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 They call them manuscripts before they become published.
Oh, well, then yeah. I've got a couple of manuscripts.
There
you go.
I suppose you do.
Yeah.
Strong words.
But, you know, poetry is a very hard thing to get published.
Yeah.
It really is. It's one
yeah,
of the hardest things.
Yeah, there's not a big market for it.
No, there isn't. And then I was told that, you know, maybe I should look into Hallmark cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of my poetry,
right.
kind of like, some of it, you know, points to the home, you know, the Hallmark
yeah.
cards.
Yeah.
And you can say some really great things that other people, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
You should try that. You should try
yeah.
that. Yeah.
I should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what happens,
Who
right?
knows what happens. Manu, our lives have been boring since you got a job and your boyfriend's back. I mean, you used to have all this shit you told us about and stuff, you know?
Hey, I told you about the killing on Saturday night. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was. Can you give us some better news, like more upbeat stuff?
Oh.
So get this. I mean, you're going to like this one. This man, this New Zealand man, okay, has been sentenced to community service after telling police he was raped by a wombat and the experience has made him speak Australian.
Are you freaking kidding me? Are you serious? Where was that?
This is serious. That's on Fox News.
Are you shitting me?
I'm not shitting you. It's right there.
He's a freaking nitwit then.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, he called later and said, apart from speaking Australian right now, I'm pretty all right, you know.
Oh, my God. He was raped by a wombat.
Yeah.
You know what a wombat is?
No, I was going to ask you about that.
That's why I'm kind of like, what a nitwit.
No, I know, but I mean, it sounds like an animal or something,
It
right?
is an animal.
Like a bat, some kind
no,
of a bat?
No, it's like this, it's approximately, say, I guess it can grow to about 2 feet to 3 feet long.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 1 foot, 1.5 feet high. Mm. So it has kind of like a long body, right?
Uh-huh.
But it's very round, barrel-like. Mm-hmm. Like the head, the whole body just looks like one animal.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow.
And, I mean, they're cute-looking animals, I think, anyways. Mm. But they're very slow and they sleep all day. They don't move.
Yeah.
And they've got the shortest, tiniest legs.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd like to know how the fuck he got raped by a wombat, okay?
Well, they're saying he pleaded guilty to using a phone for a fictitious purpose. So I don't know. I guess he admitted later that they're saying that alcohol played a large role in his life, so. I mean, some fucking people, you know. So, I mean, obviously,
you know
it's,
what?
It's bullshit. But
he must have confused the wombat with the sheep, the sheep with the wombat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in New Zealand, that's what they do. They fuck sheep.
They fuck sheep. Do sheep fuck them too? I wonder.
I don't know.
Man,
but
like,
I bet
how
you.
Gross.
I bet you any money. Most of the young kids or young guys who are growing into puberty there.
Uh huh.
I think this would be one of their first attempts.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost my virginity to a sheep.
Yeah, there's like 15 to 20 sheep, you know, per person there.
Wow.
I mean, well, that's a lot of fucking sheep.
A lot to choose from. Find your type, you know.
Pick the cleanest ass. Yeah. The one with the least dags.
Oh, man. Can't you get disease from that?
Oh, I don't. You know what? I think you... Ugh. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know dogs. Okay, check this out. Mm-hmm. This is what I don't understand about bestiology, whatever you want to call it, bestiality, right?
Yeah.
Dogs actually carry their own type of syphilis. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No.
So don't be fucking with dogs. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, so Manu says don't fuck dogs.
No, because they'd be giving you goddamn syphilis. Dog syphilis.
Yeah.
Okay?
So find a dog without syphilis and fuck them, you know?
It's impossible.
Why? Every dog has syphilis?
Yeah, because, you know, they lick each other, they sniff each other, they try and mound each other. I mean, it's very contagious.
But I thought it was a human disease.
No, it's a dog. Just like chlamydia. Yeah. You know, animals can get chlamydia
really?
Too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize
As a matter of fact, the koala bear in Australia... at one point was killing off all our koala. The chlamydia mm-hmm. was killing off all our koalas.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a very serious thing. But before killing the koalas, you know, they were actually making the females sterile.
Right.
And so, of course, there was no breeding and nothing happening. But, you know, I kind of wonder if they've gotten it under control or something or other. They don't know how it started, when it started, so on, but it did become a huge thing.
And you think a human can get syphilis from a dog?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, oh, well. I mean, I do. I think so. Syphilis is very, very contagious.
Yeah, but I mean, some things don't go from animals to people, you know. And
I don't know. You know, just with that knowledge,
right.
Would you want to try and fuck a dog?
No. You know what? I wouldn't fuck a dog anyway, Manu.
Some people have
to. You have to be pretty fucking desperate, you know.
Like that guy that we read in the LA Weekly.
Which one?
The guy that we read in the LA Weekly, he said to Mr. Savage Love.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So and what did he write? He was in love
remember,
with his dog or something?
No, no, no. He was like, he'd be walking down the street and he'd be seeing people walking their dogs and it's not the person that he's looking at. It's the dog because he wants to fuck the dog.
Yeah, I know. What happened? What's
I
happened
don't know
to the world?
What's wrong with him?
You know, except it probably happened even more in the past, you know?
I'm except sure it was, now it's all out there.
Yeah. It was a
no,
lot more
right.
acceptable, maybe.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I fucked the sheep. Okay, so you broke your virginity, you know? I mean...
reminds me of this movie that I watched, and I cannot remember the name of the movie, God damn it. But what it was kind of like... different cabs in different cities. It was a movie. It wasn't like a reality thing.
Right.
Different cabs in different cities. And this particular cabbie was, I think was in France or Italy, one of those two cities, or Rome. And anyways, the cabbie, oh, yeah, that's right. The priest got into the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been in Rome. Okay, it must have been in Rome now, because now I remember the priest. So the cabbie's like, oh, hello, father, how you doing? You know, all this kind of stuff, little small chit-chat. And then he says, can I do a confession? The father says, yes, of course, my son, right?
Right.
So the cabbie starts going on about his first love.
Uh-huh.
And talking about her big brown eyes, and she was so soft, and her hair was just felt like... you know, luscious wool. I mean, you know, and he's going on and on about Lola, right? Her name is Lola.
Lola.
Yeah.
Sounds like an attractive woman.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, and so he goes on describing his love and passion for Lola. And then one day he was making this intense love to Lola.
Uh-huh.
And her last words were, bah, bah, right? So then... So, right then, the priest started having a heart attack, right? And the priest is, like, trying to pop pills and stuff like that while this guy is still going, bah, bah, right?
This is a movie you saw?
This is a movie. Yeah. And the guy and the priest dies in the back of the seat. Right. So the cabbie looks back and like, oh, shit, I killed the priest over my confession. I'm going to hell. You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he pulls over in the big circular thing, pulls the priest out and sets him up on a parking bench and drives off.
Well, that's what I would have done.
But it was one of those weird movies. It was so funny. It was pretty funny. Yeah. I'd love to remember what the name of that bloody film was. It was an old film, you know, probably back in the 80s, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but funny.
Oh, well, that's a weird movie.
Yes, it was.
What about any new movies? You know, I haven't been into movies at all.
No, you know? No, neither have I. I mean, I haven't gone to any movies. The only movies that I do get to watch that are up and current.
Uh-huh.
Are the ones that SAG send me.
Oh. Yeah.
But then they only come when there's awards going on and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some great movies. I'm just sort of like not into it because there's been so many lackluster movies that didn't really appeal to me, you know? So I just kind of got out of it. I used to go to the movies once a week at least.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, I was catching up on all the movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but not anymore. Not anymore.
Plus, it's expensive, too, if you go to one of the, you know, like Arclight and other, various things.
What is it, $12 a ticket now?
I think it is, something like $12 or $14, wow. Something like that.
Yeah, not $14, I don't think.
Is it 12?
Not yet, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, remember when movies were $4, $3, $4?
Hey, you can still find movies for $4.
Yeah, the second run movies, right?
Like
after they go out the theaters, they go into these.
Yeah, but you know what? They're getting very the transition is getting very quick.
Right.
I mean, it gets released within a week or two. It's in that theater.
No, not like I'm that.
Serious.
But maybe a month later.
No, I'm serious. The Los Feliz 3, mm-hmm. and then the Vista. The Los Feliz 3 is on Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Vermont and Franklin, or in around that area, Franklin, Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vista is on Sunset and Virgil. Virgil, which turns into Hillhurst, it's on Sunset there. And I'm serious, those films, when they come out, within 2 or 3 weeks, they're right there.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So maybe. So, and you're only paying like $4.50 or something like that. I think the most you pay is like $6.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
All right.
Good Sounds theaters good. Too.
Yeah.
Nice, clean theaters.
Mm-hmm.
You're not dealing with this, you know, big theater with people, you know, the more people, the more noise, the more distractions, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, well. I wanted to mention a couple shows we've got, a couple of new shows. One is called Curvy Fashionista. Okay?
Okay.
And what that is a woman named Jacqueline, or Jacqueline, and she's got like a store, and it says like clothing for real women, you know?
Right.
And so I guess it's like plus sizes and stuff like that. So she's going to talk about that, you know, about fashions and... you know, for non-skinny women and things like that. So it sounds pretty interesting. You know, I thought we need like a fashion show on the station. Yeah, we do. You know, I mean, that would definitely complement what we already have. So
I suppose so. Yeah.
So yeah. So Jacqueline is gonna be having her show on Mondays at 7 p.m. And so it should be interesting. It should be interesting. And then we have another comedian coming on board. You know, we've got plenty of comedians here. But they seem to be making good radio hosts, you know, comedians.
Comedians are good.
Yeah, they're good. They have stuff to talk about. They're funny.
I listened to TJ yesterday a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, little bit. And then I had to get back to work.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, he's a funny little character.
He is.
He has a complete different, how would you say, comedic timing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's very, like, low, dry, and everything like that. But if you listen carefully, you can see everything behind everything that he says.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and you've got to smile at it. Because it's like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's funny. And he's got all these characters, you know, the gay guy from Sherman Oaks Salon. The salon is called Bodacious.
Bodacious.
Christensen. Or Christian. Or something.
Christian.
Yeah. So, but he does the gay voice pretty good. Yeah, so that's DJ at 12 every day, noon to 2.
You notice most men can do the gay voice pretty well.
I just didn't.
I Go just on, didn't. Try it.
Let's see. I thought I would come to work today wearing a dress.
Do the whole hand thing, Sam.
I can't do the hand thing. You know, with a pinky. Do you remember that movie? Like, what was it? The Birdcage or The Cage Bird?
Oh, the bird. No, the Birdcage.
The Birdcage. And there was the movie, you know, with Robin Williams.
With
and
Robin
Nathan,
Williams
Nathan
and,
Lane.
Oh my gosh, what was her name?
Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane. Yeah. But
are you asking about the girl?
Yeah. I don't know. What's her freaking name? Callista.
Callista Flockhart?
Flockhart, yeah. Oh. What a fucked up name, huh?
Yeah, she's been married to Harrison Ford forever.
Yeah. Wow.
You didn't know that?
No.
Where
I
have
did
you
not
been?
Know that. I don't know.
You've been under a fucking rock.
But he's an old man.
He is. She's been married to him for, what, 10 years? 15 years?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What is it?
The funny thing is that my brother calls me once from the beach, right? And he says, man, you wouldn't believe who we see here, you know? And it's a girl from Ally McBeal, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know? And he says, yeah, she's here with her father and everything. I said, you sure it's her father? Look closely. It's got to be Harrison Ford. So he looks closely. He says, damn, you're right. He says he looks like her father.
You know what? She probably has a whole bunch of photos of Harrison Ford when he was a young buck.
Uh-huh.
So that way, she can deal with it a little better.
But
because,
you know what?
Because he isn't aging very well.
Yeah, but you know what? If you were 30 years old right now, and you had a chance to marry Harrison Ford, would you? You would.
Oh, God.
You know you would. I mean, to be the wife of Harrison Ford, you'd sell your fucking soul for that.
I don't know. There would have to be something pretty darn special about him.
Well, he is. He's a big star.
No, I'm not talking about that. I don't give a fuck whether or not they're a big star.
You don't?
No. My God, for God's sake, I dated Lawrence Fishburne. Did I fucking marry him?
You dated him?
That's how I know him, Sam.
You didn't tell us, Manu.
No, it was one of my little secrets that I thought I'd...
Really?
One day come out with.
We can ask Manu for an autograph now. She fucked Lawrence Fishburne. Wow. What was it like?
No, I made love.
Oh, you made love to Lawrence Fishburne.
No, he was pretty amazing. I mean, like, as a person. He was pretty amazing. But,
you didn't have a problem with the racial thing?
No.
Have you dated other black guys?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you find them different as a group from white men, or?
I don't think I could date another black man again.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've been burned?
I don't go there anymore.
Mm.
Yeah.
You've been burned.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, honestly, you know, there's always bad eggs and so on. You can't judge, you know, one guy from the other, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, in the same race, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And
but it's not just about a race. It's a culture, you know. Well, it's where people grow up and so forth.
Yeah, it's
so.
A culture. But you know what? Unfortunately, the evidence was they did walk, you know, unfortunately, the men that I dated were one... Besides Lawrence, okay? Let's put Lawrence aside because, you know, he's a different kettle of fish, okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
But the other men that I dated obviously weren't very good choices on my behalf, and they just caused way too much grief. They are absolutely insecure about themselves.
Really?
And they walk
around...
They don't
come across as that.
They walk around with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those American... Blacks that you dated?
Yeah.
Okay. Not in Australia?
No.
Okay.
No. You know what? You know, that's a funny thing. That's a funny thing, you should bring that up. Because my girlfriend back in Australia, she's from South Africa. She's half black, half white. But she, you know, she's very... God, she's so gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah. She's absolutely beautiful. Anyways, she... was married... Well, not married, but engaged to... African-American guy that played basketball in Australia. Remember I was telling you, you know, she was my friend, he was a basketball player, and he tried to hit on me.
Right.
And then this is before that she knew that I knew him, and he didn't know that I knew her. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Do you remember this whole story?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so, well, now she has, I mean, the son that they have, when she found out, you know, that he was, you know, messing around, or more than messing around, okay,
yeah.
She just changed those locks, threw all this shit out of the place. She had just had the baby, like 2 months.
I know,
right?
I mean, that's fucking...
You know, but she didn't fuck around, man. She changed those locks, kicked him out, right? And says, like, don't you ever, ever, ever come back here ever again, right?
Yeah.
I was like, kudos to her, if you know what I mean. But anyways, his career ended in Australia, and he's back over East Coast. Now they have a son that's 15, 16 years old. I think he's like 15 years old now.
Yeah.
And he came over here to America to be with his father, to try and live with his father, because he's saying, you know, Ma, you know, I really want to try and live with my dad for a while.
Right,
you know,
right.
So the last 2 years, well, now it's, he's like, I don't want to live here because this is not cool, and I don't fit in with my people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're talking about a black Australian saying this and saying, I don't fit in this culture over here. It's too messed up.
Right.
I want to come home. So he's gone back home to Australia.
Yeah, and she's taking him?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Much to her pleasure. I mean, she loves him so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard with kids, you know, and when you divorce and stuff, and then they're torn, you know, between the two homes and stuff. And it's terrible, you know. I mean, I got divorced, and it totally devastated me when we did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it took me about a year or two to recover.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
So I spent some time with the kids last night. That was fun.
Yeah.
And after I told them I was upset they didn't call, but then we move on, you know, because I mean we're just happy to see each other and stuff. And we went to dinner and all that stuff. And it's nice to have them. I love my kids. I really do, you know, and I miss spending time with them. I really do. So.
Do you miss having them around every day?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, see, Tash, it just broke her heart when, you know, her son. I mean, she's been taking care of her son.
Yeah.
Like right up until she, you know, he was like 14, and then. But you know, she accepted that.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, okay, you know, that's okay. If you want to be with your dad, be with your dad.
Yeah.
But you know what? A black Australian doesn't fit in with black Americans.
No, huh?
Nope.
Really?
He doesn't like it at all. He doesn't like the mentality.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Even he.
You see, that's what I'm saying. It's not race. It's culture.
It's culture.
It's
all
about culture. Like how you were raised, what people teach you, what you experience in your life. You know.
Yeah.
And so I can see the difference.
Yeah.
So I can see why they'd be different.
Yeah, I would date a black Australian any day over a black American.
I'm just wondering sometimes if it's really worth the hassle. To be married to...
You know
to,
what?
Like to have a biracial relationship because it's got its own challenges.
But
you
see,
know?
For me, it doesn't really affect me as much as it would a white woman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The difference with me is that because I am Polynesian, you know, I have a what do you call it? An indigenous culture behind me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the thing is that I know my roots, I know my country, I know the history of everything that happened, I know specific details.
Right.
And I'm not disillusioned, if you know what I mean. I don't say, well, you know, I'm a Maori Australian or I'm Maori Australian American.
Yeah, and I'm not equal.
You know what I mean?
And, yeah,
we're all equal.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, in New Zealand, it was only 20 years ago, barely 20 years ago, that the Maori people had equal rights as the white New Zealanders.
Yeah. So they've been like outcasts the whole time?
Completely.
Really?
Do we walk around with a chip on the shoulder? No.
Yeah, it's about culture. It really
is.
You
know what I mean?
You know, and how you were raised and stuff. And there's a lot of anger in this country.
Yeah, there is.
There's a lot of anger. And you hope that it'll heal sometime soon, you know? I mean,
I don't think it'll ever heal.
It's boring and it's frustrating and we don't need this anymore.
No.
You know, I mean, when I talk to someone, I never think of them, you know, as black or white. I mean, you just talk to people.
No, neither do I.
You know?
No, neither do I.
And But fortunately, I think most people get along very well, you know, in multiple races.
But so. You know what happens? I think what happens is like, okay, all out in the public, everyone mingles and you know, works together very well,
right,
and so on.
Uh-huh.
But then when they go behind closed doors, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's still a lot of anger towards the white people.
Yeah.
You know, and but
I was...
You know, maybe if Obama wins, maybe things will be a little different. Who knows?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope
you know.
So.
Although, you know, I mean, he's a candidate for assassination. You know, I mean...
I know.
He's the kind that really can polarize people.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? You're
and,
right.
God, yeah,
I wish someone would assassinate Bush. God damn it.
Gee, isn't that a little extreme?
No, it's not.
He's got less than a year left. Be patient.
No, he needs to be gone, man.
Yeah, but through death? Come on. Manu is getting really harsh today.
But you know, you wonder why he hasn't been assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's making the money for the big dogs up there in his political parties. Yeah. He's the one that's made, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It was those who were trying to, you know, like JFK and, you know what I mean? They're the ones that were trying to... keep peace or create a different government.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Bush is really playing the strings. He's like, here, he's a handout here, he's a handout here, he's a handout here. That's how he's staying alive.
Well, yeah, Bush has got a lot of problems, obviously. And the main one is that he's president.
Oh, yeah, no worry.
He needs
you
to
know,
stop
did
that
you
fast.
Hear, I was just reading something in the news today. Hillary now has a Bush connection. Can you believe that?
A Bush connection in addition to Brad Pitt?
No, yeah. No, yeah. Meaning like her, like, you know, her, what do you call it? Her party and stuff like that. They're, oh, my God, my words are just gone from me.
Okay.
Meaning that on the political backburn, if right. you know what I mean, you've got uh-huh. Hillary, right?
Right.
Okay, so she's supposed to be trying to push out there the Democratic Party and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, her support, you know, she's got a couple of Bush, you know, people behind her.
Mm.
So this association with Bush's party is basically what's going on.
Oh, okay. But nothing like a personal relationship.
No, no,
not
no.
A family
nothing
relationship.
Nothing
okay.
like nothing like a personal relationship, right?
Right, I understand. Okay.
But the thing is, okay, a businessman from Hong Kong, he had brought to Hillary's campaign, you know, like $850,000, right? And it later came out.
That much? I don't think you can contribute that.
Well,
much.
He did.
Well,
okay.
That's illegal.
Well, of course it is.
Oh, okay. That's what you're trying to
okay,
say.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. He contributed $850,000 to Hillary's campaign.
Uh huh. Okay.
Now he is this businessman from Hong Kong, but then they unmasked him as being a fugitive, so to speak, in relationship to Bush's. Like, so he's had a handout to Bush's mm-hmm. Campaign as well.
I
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is why he is now a fugitive back in Hong Kong, because mm-hmm. he got revealed. Well, Hillary's campaign is saying, oh, well, it must have been something that slipped through the cracks, you know, or otherwise unimpeachable system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really push away donors. Like, hello.
Yeah,
you know
no.
what I'm saying? But if that doesn't say anything, the notorious, they call him the notorious financier Alan Quasha, whose involvement with Clinton is at least substantial, the same, like, as much money he has also pushed towards Clinton's campaign.
Mm.
Now, if anyone who remembers this name, Alan Quasha, he was the same person, right, that bailed out George W. Bush's failing oil company in 1986. I don't know if you knew, heard about that. His company called Harken Energy.
Yeah, I mean, Bush had an oil company. And
Right. And it was
and
going
it was
under.
Losing money, yeah.
Yes, Harken Energy. Yeah. Well, this gentleman, Quasha, was the guy that pulled him out of that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Mm. And so now he has donated, you know, a lot of money. Okay. To Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Okay, well, I know that many people will actually pay both parties or donate to either party.
Right.
You know, so so that's what happened here. You know, is that apparently he donated to both parties.
Yeah.
But that's way too much money. You can't do that.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. So this is the controversy that's going on with the real news.
Yeah.
The news that is normally not exposed through, of course, Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, Fox was right up Bush's ass on that one.
Yeah. But, so we have a guest coming up in a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right
back.
Back.
You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Hey, you know how you mentioned Robin Williams earlier on?
Did I?
Yeah, with the movie Birdcage.
Oh yes, okay. Yes.
Well, speaking of that, just going through this, he's getting a divorce.
Oh yes,
from his second wife.
From the nanny that he.
From the nanny.
Yeah.
Now
that stole him from his wife.
Yeah. After 19 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
I guess he's had a drinking problem. I think that might be one of the issues there. You know, I mean, drinking never ends well. You know, there's always a problem. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but it's hard. It's hard to quit drinking. I know I've seen people, and it's not easy, you know. I mean, it's, but it's practically like killing yourself, you know. So you just kill yourself.
You know, he shares the same birthday with me.
Really?
Yeah, July 21st.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you reminded me this, because we need to collect birthdays from all the hosts so we can actually celebrate birthdays and at least note them, you know, when someone has a birthday.
Cool.
Because, yeah, I mean, people want to know, people want to let other people know they have a birthday and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
I suppose
it's a special day, you know.
Last year I was lucky. I was so lucky last year. I was so happy for my birthday.
Yeah? Why?
Yeah.
What happened then?
Well, because, look, I tell you what. My birthday has been absolutely notorious for me for most of my life. I'm not kidding you. And when I was growing up, did you know I did not know what my birthday was or how old I was up until I was 10 years old?
What?
And the only reason why I knew that I was 10 years old was because for some reason I got this freaking doll, right? The first doll I've ever gotten, and it was this thing that crawled
this thing.
Right, crawled along the ground. I mean, like, I'm a tomboy, okay?
Yeah.
But what the fuck do I want with the doll?
Yeah.
Okay?
Who got you that doll?
My mother.
And she knew you were a tomboy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she was trying to get you to be a little more feminine.
Yeah, whatever. It didn't work.
Well, it did in the long run.
So, yeah, it did in the long run.
Yeah.
But it didn't have me make a baby, though, right?
Yeah. At what point did you actually start becoming feminine?
When I was about 25.
Really?
25, 26.
After the service.
Way after the service, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, you had to be a tomboy still to go to the service.
Yeah.
So what happened to change you like this? To drastically just change, you know, to becoming more feminine, more...
A man.
A man did that.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, I was talking about my birthday.
I know, but what happened there? I mean, what did the man do to make you suddenly change?
You remember we were talking about names, you know, what we were going to name your son.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Well, his name was Kane, and he was in the police force. And he was probably, you know, he was like a very secure man. He was, you know, after my injuries, of course, you know, I'm like a little freaked out and everything like that. And he came along, and I don't know, there was just something about this guy that just really, influenced me.
So you kind of like fell in love, and then you felt, well, I better play the woman's role?
No, you know what, we never, you know, the whole, I don't know how long we dated for, but we never said that.
Yeah.
You know, because he used to say, come on, I know you love me. And I said, no, no, I don't. And he says, like, it's like beating a horse, you know. You can take him to the, or, you know, take him to the pond, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That kind of thing.
I see.
So it was one of those relationships. It was great. It was good. I mean, it was kind of boring. But at the same time, it was kind of like a learning path. What it did do, this is what it did do. Mm-hmm. It made me realize that you can have a relationship without turmoil or without drama. Mm. And that was the most important thing.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that has stuck with me. Now, unfortunately, later on, I didn't quite learn the lesson quick enough, you know, because I did go through a few disgusting, repulsive relationships thereafter.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, well, we are going to have a guest in a little bit, but right now we have a very special guest that just walked into the studio and graces us with his presence. Fixes stuff for him.
Yeah.
The name of this man is Doug Newsom.
Man, and he's more than a man.
More than a man.
He is the man.
He's a grown man. And Doug came to visit. Doug actually has been the founder of BBS Radio and was kind enough with his brother to let me on board. And that's how BBS Talk Radio was born.
Yes, and behind Doug, the bullshit.
Yes. And Doug's behind the voice of a caller that we've had several times in the past couple months. And we miss Doug a lot. He's a very good friend. And he had to go out of town, take care of his mother and everything. And now you're back to just take your stuff and leave again?
Yeah, but I'm keeping a little place down here.
Oh, so you decided to actually keep a place. Yeah. Oh, I see. It's called BBS Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'll have a little pad here.
Yeah, exactly.
Hang on, are you leaving again?
I am.
When? Why?
I'm out of here Saturday morning.
Why? When?
Because I have 1, 2, 3 places now, and I don't live in any of them. And I got to downsize.
Yeah. But you saw, I mean, we talked about what a beautiful area he was at in Washington, right?
Yeah,
but it's too cold.
Oh, no, it just rains a lot.
Yeah,
that's why you're in so much pain, man.
I know.
But, I mean, given the option, he moves away from L.A. I mean, that's a good thing. How long were you in L.A.? Or have you been here? How long have you been here?
3 years now.
3 years?
Yeah.
You're already tired of it.
Huh? I'm already tired. I got to move on. I got to have change.
He'll be back.
Kind of like women. How long can you stay with one? 6 months? Come on.
He'll be
There's
back.
Another commitment issue person.
Oh, big time. Yeah? Big time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Massage. I run.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What was the longest relationship you've ever been in?
See if he can beat me.
Yeah.
2.5 years, but I ran 4 times.
You ran 4 times?
4 times.
Oh, during those 2.5 years?
Over the 2 years.
Over the 2.5 years.
Wow.
See, you know what? He's beaten me. I haven't had a relationship over 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm coming up to this one here is the first one that it's going to reach.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a milestone.
Freaked out,
man. Celebrate.
Yeah, I know.
You got to celebrate by leaving him. Okay, it's been 2 years now. You got till Saturday.
You know what? Seriously, I was, you know, believe it or not, I was thinking that last night. I got like, oh, fuck. I was just like, I came to this realization, like, oh, my God.
It's scary.
I mean, like, seriously.
Yeah.
I you know.
Really? So you started
worrying?
Yeah,
my heart started going like, oh, man,
no
I
more
don't
sex
know.
With other people. Uh-oh. No. Commitment time.
Yeah. Well, she's already pretty much committed to in a relationship.
Well,
you know?
Look, the thing is, if I am in a relationship, yes, I am committed to it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, do I see the person as being my long life partner?
Right.
No.
That's a different thing
altogether. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I found a lady up north.
Right. Yeah.
And,
you did this time?
I did. Well,
really?
I'm not going to date her. I've already. She does a griffin on me. Then she
emails
a griffin, you know, trying to find out my background. We go out. We have sex on the first night.
Really?
Of course.
Wow. Was she hot?
Oh, yeah. Not bad.
Wow.
And then right after that, she sends me an email and says, well, first off, right that night, she says, tell me about yourself. I said, what, you want to know all the skeletons? Now, I have a lot of skeletons. Okay.
So
I start going, here's skeleton one, skeleton two, skeleton three. That freaked her out.
Really?
Pretty well, she wanted to know.
Yeah.
So I told her all my skeletons, and then the very next day I get this email that says, you know, even though we slept together, and that's a beautiful thing, bro, beautiful thing, now we really should slow it down a little bit because I really want to get to know you, and I believe you have problems in your past that you need to work through, and I'm there for you to work with them and help you through all these past problems. So I wrote her an email. I said,
you know that's
danger. She wants to help you with that?
Yeah, she wants to help me with all my past, all my skeletons. Wow. So I said to her,
there you go. There's a Mother Teresa kind.
Problematic. Problematic.
Yeah. Immediately.
She obviously has her own issues if she feels she needs to help you with yours.
She's a guidance counselor for families and children.
Disturbed. Oh, God. Stay away from them.
Disturbed, right?
Very disturbed.
Scary.
Yeah.
I said, these problems made me who I am. I'm the reason I like who I am now.
Me too. Me too.
She didn't get it, so she started emailing my friend going, does he really have this problem, and did he really do this and that? And I'm going, my friend didn't, my friend emailed me and said, Doug, I'm getting these strange emails from this lady, and she's asking me all these questions about you. I flipped the lid. I wrote her back. I said, you know, there's something odd about that. I really don't want help. I like who I am. I had all these problems which made me who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
And you shouldn't be emailing my friend to find out about me. Don't you find that kind of wrong? Well, now we just got to cool it. Really, I don't want to. I'm not looking for a lady like this at all. Mm-hmm. And I really think that we shouldn't see each other anymore.
You know what? She may just like, you know, this is so funny, right? This is so funny how a lot of women will fucking jump in the sack the first night, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go, ooh, maybe we should slow down.
Yes.
I'd be like,
I know.
You shouldn't have fucking spread your legs in the first place, you dumb bitch.
You see, and that's why men are so fucked up, because they get mixed signals all the time.
Isn't that like typical? This is a classic case for me.
Yeah.
It really is.
So it happens to you quite a bit.
No. I'll tell you what.
If
I sleep with a man the first night, that's it. It's done. That's see ya.
No attachments there,
none.
Man. She's able to disconnect.
It was for a purpose.
Yeah.
So you move on.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Eh.
That's what guys do.
Hand pound for that one.
That's what guys are supposed to do. This is America, for God's sakes. Land of the free, home of the brave.
Yeah. I know. But, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you do different things and you meet different women and stuff, and everyone's a little different, you know, and then they start putting you through different things, and you go, you know, what have I done here? You know, I realized one thing. If I start to feel that I'm crazy, then I know I'm with a crazy person, you know, and then I just leave. I just leave, you know, because sometimes they make you start doubting what you say and what you think.
Or what you're going to say next, or what you're going to do next, or like, wow, should I really be trying to do that? You know what I mean? You start second guessing yourself.
Like when I asked you, do you have a sister? You want to, you know, have a little thing?
And
I was second guessing myself by the end of the conversation. I was like, no, this is right. This isn't wrong. This is right.
A threesome is a good thing.
For old Dougie here, I can see him putting up with two women. Actually, I could see him with three women.
Really?
Been there.
Really? Three women?
Really?
A few times.
Wow, Doug.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I felt good at the time. It's kind of addictive.
Yeah. Were they all servicing you, or was it
the... They were trying.
Yeah.
They were trying.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they always try to please. Women, you know, women, they like to try to please.
Yeah.
And the men, they like to try to please, so it was a great situation.
Cool.
I could just imagine, like, six pairs of legs up in the air, and Dougie going from one to the other, lick.
Yeah. See, there is a solution for me. I figured it out.
Uh-huh.
I have figured out long nights of sweating over this, thinking about this. The answer? Swinger. Become a swinger. You see?
Yes.
You know, like if you had a boyfriend and the boyfriend wanted to do Pamela Anderson, bottom line is you'd say, okay, if you really got to get it off your chest, right? You
got to
get it
off your chest. I don't know what woman would say that, but sounds interesting.
And if he did Pamela Anderson, but you knew he wouldn't stick with her, would you want him to do that? Well, 99% of the people are uncomfortable. They'd go, no, no, I possessed you, you're mine, right?
Which is wrong.
Which is wrong. You don't possess anything. I mean, you leave with nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not leave and enjoy everything before you leave?
Yeah. Yep.
I agree.
I agree. Yeah. Manu, what should we do about the guests? Do you want to walk out and see if they're here? I'll continue talking to Doug, or we can take a little break.
No, and continue talking with Doug.
Yeah.
And then I'll
down the pavement,
I'll,
baby.
I'll dash out, see if they're here.
Yeah.
And then I'll be. We'll be right back.
I see. You know what? Let's take a quick break. I want to listen to some music, so go ahead. See.
For everything that matters,
I'm not European. I don't plan on being European. So who gives a crap if they're socialists? They can be fascist anarchists. It still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car.
And everything that does.
I've been in prison for 3 years. My dick gets hard after the wind blows.
You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show on BBS Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back here with
Doug. What are you doing, Doug?
Who is laughing and he's checking out Manu and everything. Now,
What are you laughing at? What are you trying to tell me?
Nothing.
I love that.
What's that? What do you see? You see, he's falling in love with the body part. That's what men do.
That's what men do. They don't think about much else, do they?
My tits?
Working body parts.
No.
My tits or Minnie Mouse on the...
I don't know what...
I caught them on the way. Is that like a push-up bra?
Oh,
No, she wears that one every day.
No,
but Doug did... Can I tell her what you asked me?
Yeah.
Okay. He thought you did. You had a boob job when he first walked in.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and I told him, no, it's the same boob since we started.
Went from small B to good C.
Hold on. I'm actually a C cup.
Yeah.
But this bra, like I tell you, freaking Victoria's Secrets has miracle bras.
Yeah.
This one here is like one of those full bras or whatever you want to call it. They're like a I don't know, they're like a fuller bra.
Mm.
And they don't push anything together or up or anything like that.
Do you have to actually demonstrate that?
Yeah, she's having her dad's mother.
Yeah, she's pushing her boobs together. I mean, this is stuff they do in porno, you know, or like...
No, they don't. I'm just free with my
she's
body.
She's using both hands. So
she's free with her body.
Here.
You see, you're free with your body, but you're not being responsible for the effects on us here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and look, I'm wearing loose-fitting clothing. The effects would be profound.
Exactly. You would see a little tent growing there.
Yes, well.
See, I already put a hole in the back. See, there's a problem there.
Oh, okay. Oh, you pull it through the back. You must have a long
That's slide. How I hide it.
Yeah.
So
did you guys hear that they found out and they found another hooker that Spitzer went to? She's got big boobs. Yeah. She's got big boobs, blonde. She kind of has the look of Anna Nicole Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
As good looking or better?
No, she looks pretty cute. I mean, she's got huge tits, blonde.
This guy was
tattoos.
Active.
Tattoos.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. But he's going to get into some deep shit because apparently she was part of a different prostitution ring.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah. Who knows? But she looks pretty beautiful, you know?
What an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Men like that using our fucking money, or more so the New Yorkers' money, to have himself a good time.
Yeah.
I figure they all... There's 99% of those guys that do.
But you know what? But the thing is like, okay, he's resigned. But he's still getting $1 million fucking check or $2 million check
sure,
every year.
He still
year.
Gets his pension, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And you know what? When shit like that goes down, he shouldn't get shit.
Shit, he should be cut off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, we have a phone call. Let's see who keeps calling us here. Good morning. You're on the air with Manu, Sam, and Doug. Who's calling?
This is David.
Hi, David. How are you?
Hi, David.
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you. What can we do for you this morning?
Well, I'm the guest today.
Oh, so, but you're calling us on the...
We thought you were coming in person, honey.
Oh, no. No, I live in Chicago.
Oh, you know what? You never mentioned it even once.
Oh my God! How funny!
Actually,
is
yeah, I have the emails.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have your emails, but it never occurred to me that you were not in L.A. Well, awesome. I'm glad you called. No, that's excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is David Beck. Yeah, I wasn't sure which David that is, but but this is David Beck, and you're into a lot of interesting things. You're doing some training and coaching and so forth. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, okay. Actually, I went through this Fearless Living Institute's coaching program. So I am a certified Fearless Living coach. And Ooh. What I do is support individuals and groups in becoming aware of where fear shows up in their life.
Yeah.
And ethically shifting into living a successful life in freedom.
Oh, wow.
And now we're not talking about, you know, fears of spiders or bugs or jumping out of an airplane. We're talking about emotional fears.
Right.
You know, when we get disappointed and frustrated and right. all that.
So is this like a self-help type of a seminar that you go to?
Well,
obviously not self-help, but...
It is yeah. self-help. Yeah. And the coaching program for the Fearless Living Institute is actually an 18-month coaching program, which wow. consists of teleclasses and weekend workshops and a lot of individual work on self before you can then become certified.
Right. And so...
Really, you know, it's the Harvard of the coaching industry.
Oh, okay. Now, Fearless Living, is it? Fearless Living?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
is that a company that you started or you joined them?
No, I joined them. The founder is Rhonda Britton. She is the author of Fearless Living, Live Without Excuses and Love Without Regret. She's also the author of Fearless Loving and Change Your Life in 30 Days and Do I Look Fat In? And she started the Institute. She was a life coach on the TV show called Starting Over, which actually filmed there in LA.
Oh, yeah. I remember that show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And that's... Go ahead.
No. So life coaching is something that you do in a group, right? Obviously.
Life coaching, actually, you can do as a group as well as individual. I have individual clients from all over the world. They call me on the phone, and some here in Chicago, we meet in person, and we meet hourly, weekly for some. For others, it's, you know, a month, because they'll call me to do tune-up sessions. And we meet
tune
once
up.
A week.
I like that.
Let's tune up sessions. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's tune up my brain a little bit.
You know what? That word tune up. You know, like requiring a tune up, is probably the most appropriate word to describe any everyone that walks this planet, or have had some sort of therapy kind of thing, mm-hmm. or counseling, need to go back for a tune up. I learned that
really?
You know, years and years ago. Remember, you always need a tune-up. It's just like your car.
Right.
You know, you are your own vehicle. And just like your own vehicle, you have to
Does that apply
have
to
tune-ups.
To what?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
And really, no one can, as Rhonda says, no one can be fearless alone. And we all need support. My grandmother used to tell me this saying when I was younger, you're the picture and you can't see outside the picture frame. So listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm asking you. And that's what a life coach does. We don't tell. We ask questions and basically support the individual into their own choices, empowering choices. Versus disempowering.
So fearless living, does that mean like getting rid of fears, jumping out of airplanes, doing some rock climbing, and getting them really out on a limb so they realize how valuable life is?
No.
That would be a little extreme.
it can take a client. You know, I've taken a client rock climbing and things of that nature. No, it's actually becoming aware of where fears up daily in our expectations, in the excuses that we create.
So what's the definition of fear?
Mm-hmm.
What's the definition of fear? Of fear, what's the definition? I mean, what are we trying to get rid of? Fear, fear in essence in our world, but what does that mean?
Well, it's for every person. It can be fear of failure. It can be fear of success, even. And the fear of success, well, what comes along with success? The needing to be accountable for ourselves, the having a voice. I know for me, having a voice was one of my big fears because I was always afraid of others judging.
Yeah. You know, I don't get this, ooh, like fear of success. What is that exactly? I mean, who fears success?
Who fears success?
Yeah.
Well, the people that are afraid to speak up, the people that are afraid to shine their light, willing to go first. Mm. And also people who would much rather do it for another person,
right,
and solve everyone else's problems or fix everyone else's problems, their issues, their challenges, rather than their own.
Oh, you know what? That brings me to ask. All right, so you have that concept, but then you have these psychologists, psychiatrists, family therapists, and so on, that are, and I know this from personal experience as well, that they're all trying to fix everybody else's problems, they're dealing with everybody else's problems, but they're not dealing with their own at all.
Mm.
So, you know what I mean? So in a sense, what would you say the difference is between your job as being a life coach versus a therapist, family therapist or psychologist? What would you say is the most prominent difference there?
For myself as a life coach, and again, every life coach is different. Everyone has a different style, techniques. I actually come up with goals and a daily intention on how they want to show up in this world. And then I hit them and hold them accountable in creating those goals and moving through those goals.
Mm.
So it's putting one in front of the other, moving life forward. You know, during sessions, we can talk about the past, and, you know, the past is past. However, oh my gosh, don't we all have our story?
Yeah.
Don't we all have the traumas of our life?
Yeah. At least one, yes.
And really, it's not, that's not important to me. What's important to me is right now in this moment and how we're moving forward.
Boy, it sounds to me like... You're very spiritual. It almost sounds to me like you're guiding them on a spiritual level. Live in the now, forget the past, move forward with you know, fear being the number one killer
allowing us to go forward.
Yeah. So on many levels, it sounds to me like you're pulling together a lot of the information that's out on a spiritual realm into everybody's everyday life. Am I wrong on that assumption?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, and that's actually, spirit is what called me to the Fearless Living work. I was watching the show one day, and spirit said you're gonna work with her, and then I ended up getting an email from the institute and asking me to take a life coaching quiz, and then it just developed from there. I started taking the classes and the workshops, and then about a year in, still taking classes, still taking workshops, is when I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go for it and try to enter the coaching program.
Nice.
Was accepted.
Yeah, and I think it's a good feeling to stand in front of people and know you're helping them out and be heard and that sort of thing, right? I mean, how big are your groups usually?
I'm sorry?
The groups that you get together in your seminars, mm-hmm, or workshops, whatever you call them, how big are the groups usually?
Well, they vary. Fearbuster groups, which what we do is we start off with Rhonda's books, and if the group continues, then we go on to other books. The participants can range from 8 all to 20.
What if you've got a real fear?
There's actually some people that have groups that are even bigger than 20.
Wow.
What if you have a fear of women, let's say? Let's say you've got this nerd out there. He's watching mystery on TV too often, and he just doesn't get it, and he's afraid to approach. Would that be somebody that you would life coach?
Absolutely. What I do is I offer a free introductory session to everybody, first time free introductory session. And basically what happens is they bring me a challenge, I coach them through it, and then after I coach them, give them some tools and a homework assignment. It's all about the homework. We love homework. And then we discuss, they ask me any questions that they have at practice about what it entails. And then we decide if our relationship together will be cohesive and if we'll work well together.
How has this changed your life? I'm curious only because let's say you got into this. And now do you find that you're more aggressive or your work is, it's easier for you to deal with people in your work environment. How has it changed your life specifically?
Oh, how it's changed my life. Before Fearless Living, years ago, I'm as well a dancer and a choreographer.
Oh.
And being in front of the mirror, being a dancer, we can be very judgmental of ourselves. And it's about being perfect and getting your leg as high as the other. And that mentality kind of tore me down. And the rejection portion of going on auditions and not getting it, or the thought of, okay, I'm not good enough. And so let me just back and not do anything. Yeah. Let me not be responsible for what I want in life. And that got old. That got old really quickly. Because I am and have always been a optimistic person. I've always just seen all opportunity and believed and dreamed. And then eventually, through doing the workshops, I ended up producing my own concerts, choreographing my own concerts, and really seeing what I was capable of when I was responsible for myself, when I was accountable.
Right. So
it was almost as if before Fearless Living, before I was a go-getter, and then all of a sudden I kind of just stopped because of everyone's judgments, and I was afraid of everyone judging me, and it's all about David. That was a line that always went through my head, because it was a negative sentence that I had heard growing up.
Right.
It's all about David. You're so conceited. Things of that nature. And eventually, I started to believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
And in coming in doing the work of Fearless Living, well, my soul was yearning to shine. My soul had something to say, whether it be through dance, creating whatever it was. And so after that, I produced a concert in 4 months, choreographed, directed, all by myself. And then my second concert, I actually produced, choreographed while I was in the coaching program, and I put it all together in 4 weeks.
Wow.
Which was huge. It was huge for me.
Yeah.
But now it's all about everybody else again. Going back to the same premise, I love to be the devil's advocate. Don't hate me for this. But now, in many respects, now that you've learned this course, it's going back to helping other people through their problems. And so it's all about them again in many ways. Do you find some irony there?
When you say it's all about them, what do you mean?
That means you've set yourself up in a position now to help other people through their problems again. Remember in the beginning here about 15 minutes ago, we were talking about how some people want to deal with other people's problems rather than their own.
Right.
So on this level, you've taken the course, and now you're coming back to the initial situation, maybe, where we're dealing with other people's problems again. Don't you find some irony there?
Well, it's actually... I hear what you're saying. I don't do the work for them. The client is the one who does all the work. Mm-hmm. I ask questions and come up with assignments.
Right.
That's what I do. When we get off the phone, it's up to them if they're going to choose to do the work required. If they're going to choose to maybe speak up and say, no, I'm not willing to do this time.
Right.
No, I'm not willing to drive you around. No, I've got other priorities that I'm going to. And for me, that's just the ultimate. Oh my gosh, it's so sweet. It's just amazing to be a witness to someone's transformation, and especially when they were so afraid to maybe speak up.
Are you on an automatic level? That means
say that one more time.
Are you on an automatic level? Does that mean you've incorporated this information well enough that you deal with it on an automatic level, or do you still have to stop and think and say, "Uh-oh, I'm afraid of that. I got to write some steps and take care of it through this process again."
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, disappointment will come up. And right away I'll automatically go, "Okay, I had an expectation. What was missing?"
Yeah.
And because, you know, when we're disappointed, we're obviously expecting something. And
you're
did
so
it
right.
not go the right way? And who's saying what's right and who's saying what's wrong?
Yeah. Most people are not aware that when they place expectations on other people, most commonly they're going to be disappointed. Because those expectations aren't fulfilled.
Yeah. So
and a lot of expectations in relationships, in couples, in friendships, expectations aren't talked about, and those are silent contracts.
Right.
So, honey, I want you to take out the garbage twice a week. That's maybe what we're thinking in our head. Have we ever come out and said it?
Yeah,
no.
So we
ever come out and ask, "Are you willing to take out the garbage a week and you know, I'll do the dishes twice a week?"
Yeah. So, so what you're saying? What, Manu?
That was a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Or then projecting something.
Then you get like my mother who says I shouldn't have to ask.
Yeah. But, obviously, you know, when your expectations are high, you can be disappointed, you know, there's no question about it. And you have to adjust your expectations, I think, as to what, to expect from people, you know, and I think once you do that, I think most of us live in fear, you know, and, different kinds of fears. I mean, there's like an endless number of fears that people suffer from. And I think it's pretty much immobilizing. You know, you can't really do much when you're afraid. You know, it's a very strong emotion. Very strong emotion.
To quote Rhonda, fear is the gatekeeper of our zone. It's our comfort zone is everything we're familiar with. And when we start stepping outside of our comfort zone, fear starts rearing its head, saying, "No, no, no, I want you to stay safe." And fear never goes away.
Yeah.
And in my experience, fear doesn't go away. It just gets smarter, comes differently. And you know, I'm reading A New Earth, and for me, and now I'm doing a lot of work on ego. Because it was always, I don't want to become egotistical. And so now I'm really trying to become aware. I'm becoming aware of how ego shows up. And, you know, sometimes we beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up. We expect ourselves to be perfect. And again, to quote Rhonda, there's action rather connection.
Right.
It's really about just connecting with who we are, what we want to do, how we want to serve purpose in the moment.
Yeah.
That's freedom.
Now, let me ask you, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that? Do you have a website?
They can visit my website at evolutionthenextlevel.com, and they can also email me at David, and I spell my name David, at evolutionthenextlevel.com.
That's interesting.
And they can also find me through the Fearless Living Institute's website, and that's fearlessliving.org. And there they can find out everything that Rhonda's up to, her new book that she's working on, the workshops that Fearless Living provides, the coaching program. Again, I love the coaching program. When I graduated, I was like, okay, I'm done. and it's not really done, because there's always workshops and getting other levels. So,
right,
David,
amazing place.
I have a question for you. When you talk about fear and everything like that, are you finding that people are living in fear more so today? And the reason why I'm asking that is because, you know, since Bush has been in and since 9/11 and so on, you know, we are being bombarded every single freaking day. You know, fear this, terrorists.
Good one.
Al-Qaeda. And I mean, it's constant fear-based information that's being impounded in people on a daily basis. And I think what is happening, this is just my own assumption, and I want you to you know, maybe embellish on this. When this kind of establishment is being impounded on people as a nation, do you feel, and this is how, and I feel this, do you feel that we no longer take a stand for ourselves? We fear taking a stand against a government or against a body, or, you know what I mean, something like that?
I do believe that, you know, very rarely do I watch the news, and I really don't get involved with politics, because it is fear, and it is all, it's society pushing the fears on, and I do believe it may not have a voice and afraid to speak up. And that's why I believe now, also on the other spectrum, we have, you know, the Fearless Living Institute. We have ICF, International Coaching Federation. We have Oprah doing the New Earth teleclass.
Yeah.
Because there's the balance there. And it goes back to fear will never go away. So the more people get on board to see how fear does show up, the more people get on board of seeing how ego does show up, which is fear, the more they'll become aware. It all does begin with awareness. And once we're aware, the work doesn't stop.
Right.
Our personal journey of that work, of becoming aware, of knowing when fear shows up, never stops.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So it does go back to that, yes, I'm always constantly doing my own personal work.
It's almost like, though, you can have more fear once you recognize it, perhaps. You know how some people you hear, they've come through a spiritual aware or awakening, and they become aware, and they find themselves becoming almost angrier afterwards, because now they recognize the point of their anger, and they focus on it, and sometimes that takes them almost to a further point before they get better.
Yes, it can. I know it did for me on the opposite side of the spectrum, of where it's, let me speak. And it was almost like you couldn't shut me up. So it can take you to the opposite side of the spectrum. However, if given the best tools, and if one is willing to work those tools, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're really going to be walking in our essential nature,
okay,
in the truth of who we are. And yeah, now, I mean, it kind of drives me a little batty going, okay, there's fear here, there's fear here, there's fear here. And then when I step back and go, wait a minute, okay, there's fear, what am I afraid of?
Yeah.
And do I want to move through it right now, or do I want to sit here? Do I want to sit here and be afraid? Because I can do that too.
Yeah.
Again, it's a choice.
I guess it's recognizing the problem first, which this course teaches you, that it's something that's manifest within us that we have to recognize, and once we pinpoint it, then we can really work on it.
And sometimes we don't recognize it until we're moving through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. David, we're running out of time for this segment, but I wanted to tell everyone to go to evolutionthenextlevel.com. And what was the other site you had?
David.
And that's the Fearless Living. .org.
TheFearlessLiving.org. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and we'll put the links to you to your site on our website today, tonight, with the archive, so people can go and
fabulous.
Find it.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah.
And also, if I can mention, I'm living another one of my dreams. I have a book coming out.
Oh
awesome.
Called Conversations on Success. And I'm a co-author. Two celebrity authors are Dr. John Gray and Tom Hopkins. And
wow.
I'm along with 17 other authors, and it's all on success strategies, how to create and be, for me, my chat, and being the success that you already are.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's called The Conversation on Success?
Yes. Conversations on Success.
It's really being shipped as we speak. I'm so excited about it.
Great. And where can people find your book?
They can visit my website, thenextlevel.com, right, and they can order a book through there, because I'll be getting 1,000 of my own. And then they can also get it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com.
Wonderful.
Well, it looks like you really know what you're talking about, and you obviously have the passion for it, and that's great. And so I see also on your site there's some pictures of dancers. So that's another thing you're involved in. You said choreography and stuff. That's nice. So you're able to integrate all that into your life. You know, well, congratulations to you, David. I mean, I think it's a great thing you're doing there. And I definitely would consider something like this, life coaching.
Yeah.
So you feel you're rather qualified to teach people how to live.
Yeah, absolutely. It's because I'm working the work, and I have the tools and the skills to provide and support another in learning them for themselves.
Right.
You know, what tool may work for me may work for the next person that's going to call me.
Right.
It may not. However, I'm sure to bet that it will if they're willing to work it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It may take them maybe not as much time as it took me. It may take them a little bit more time.
Yeah. So you can't just sit back and hope it's going to happen. You got to actively take action and improve your life. Okay, David, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure to be on your show, and thank you.
Thank you very much, David. And take care, and you can listen to yourself tonight.
Oh, well, thanks.
Bye, David.
Have a great day, everybody.
You too.
Bye-bye, David.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that's on life coaching and stuff, and pretty interesting stuff.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
there's
a million of these things.
That came up about expectations, mm-hmm. and expectations will ultimately lead to disappointment.
Right.
Didn't you place expectations on your two children and it led to disappointment?
Well, yeah. Look, I mean, I'm aware of the expectations and disappointment deal, of course. And, But, I mean, sometimes you have to have certain expectations, you know, because you need to know how to act vis-a-vis something else, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Sometimes your expectations are, if I go over and say hi to this lady, she'll just cut me down.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And there's my expectation.
Yeah, that's living in fear for you.
I won't cut you down, Doug.
The paralysis of fear. I've been there.
But you know, I mean, we've had another lady, Melissa. She's the hypnotherapist.
That's right.
And she works along the same thing, but obviously on a different. She does it a different way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's just trying to fix your life, you know, for you and stuff. And
what it is a motivator. We need it's funny because we all know, like, say, let's, for example, you're there alone, you know you got to get into the gym. Friend comes over and says, I'll join you in the gym. Okay, now you got some sort of a motivator where you're each motivating each other. Yeah. On many levels, these life coaches, I think, are that important thing that we each need in our lives. Maybe that's why we have a partner in lives too, because they motivate each other.
Yeah,
so on that level, it's an important thing, I think, to at least get a motivator in your life. Sit down and write your own goals and say, I need somebody to help me through these.
Yeah.
Somebody to get me up at 8 in the morning and do that 10 minutes of running, you know?
Don't you dare wake me up at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. And don't ask me to run either. That's it. I ain't running anywhere, man. Give me my car. That's funny.
No, I like the sleeping into the last minute. Yeah. I can never get over these people who set their alarms like hours, you know, like 2 hours before they're really due to get up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Their alarm, they think
they
to themselves,
snooze for 2 hours.
Okay, I have to get up at 7. All right, so I'm going to set my alarm at 5 a.m. and then have this stupid little thing go off every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's bullshit, man.
But some people can't get out of bed right away, so they need this.
I do. That alarm goes off, I lean over,
tink, but
I'm
you see,
out.
Many people
like
can't.
That.
So they kind of like prepare. They do it in steps. You know?
Oh, that would drive me.
You can have an automatic time clock in your head. I've done this.
Really?
Where I've been so tired. I've been up almost 24 hours. Then I got to be up 2 hours for a flight. And I'm going, there's no way, but I need this 2 hours. I need it or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Okay? And then I imagine the clock ringing 2 hours later, and I visualize it. I visualize it before I go to bed for a few minutes. And I swear, 2 hours later, bingo, I'm up.
I'm on a natural clock now. I get up way before my alarm now.
You can do it for any time. You can set it for any time. Your natural clock, you can set it for any time if you visualize it before you go to bed.
Wow.
What kind of alarm do you have, Sam?
My alarm?
Do you wake up to
an
alarm?
Oh, yeah, I need one, yeah.
Oh,
I get
do?
Up at 5. It's very hard for
me. Yeah, I know,
to get
but
up.
What kind of alarm? Is it one of those?
Just the radio. No. The radio starts playing. The hell with that, man. I'd fucking break the clock right there. No, I need music in the morning.
I did that shit every day when I was in the military. Oh, my God.
I used to get up early because I had a girlfriend that liked morning sex. God, I hated that. I liked evening sex. She liked morning sex. I like evening sex. It was terrible. It was terrible.
She liked morning sex?
Morning sex.
Wow,
where you brush
that's
your teeth.
Odd.
Why is that odd? I love that, too. I'm a morning person.
No. Most women are not morning sex women.
Really?
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It takes a little while for our body to wake up. Hello.
Yeah. Well, that depends. You know, if you have a partner that wakes you up right away and your body.
Oh, hell no.
No?
And gets an elbow.
I mean, you really got to like your partner to be able to wake up in the morning and go, okay, I don't mind the fungus in the teeth. I don't mind that. The smell's coming from his armpit.
Ew.
There's something wet in the middle of the bed and it's not coming from his, well.
Yeah, exactly.
Something wrong here.
Exactly.
But I love them. Right.
Now, I'm a early afternoon, late afternoon, early evening person.
Yeah, me too.
I like that. I don't like late sex. I don't like it at all.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're just tired. It's not fun anymore.
I'd be like, man, I just want to go to bed. God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm a day person. I'll do anything in the morning, you know. So I have no problem with that.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. Let's take a little break.
Hey, everybody. Harry Carey here. You know, two of my most favorite things in life besides the Cubs are Jews and Australians. And this BBS Talk Radio has them both on one show. Hey, this place is great. Okay, let's get back to California dreaming with my favorite Jew in Australia, Sam and Manu. Hey, Sam. Hey, Manu. Comes with.
So you're back with the Jew and the Australian and the American.
Canadian,
actually.
Canadian-American.
Yes.
Austrian-English.
We have Doug Newsom in the studio. Mr. Co-founder of BBS Radio, and he came to visit and grace us with his presence. And boy, are we graced.
We certainly are.
Yeah. So listen, I mean, I need to bring up this thing because this is an interesting topic. Now, an Ohio woman was accused of having sex with a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. So the thing is that, I mean, this woman is, I mean, we hear of women or teachers, molesting boys, but women molesting girls, you don't hear that much of it.
Yeah,
well, hang on. Was this a woman molesting a girl?
A girl.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I misunderstood. 40,
the woman's 41, the girl is 14.
Okay.
And she had sex with her, so apparently, some kind of a witness. Well, actually, they say that her daughter says she has engaged in sexual activity with a number of her friends, of her own friends, her daughter's friends. So, I mean, this is a serial molester here.
Oh, wow. She an attractive lady? I have to ask.
No, I mean, you're right, because, you know, you have to, because you see, that's how men are fucked up, you know, they're thinking, two chicks, okay, two pussies, tell me more about it. But, you know, but this is a serious thing, you know, I mean, this is molesting a girl, although I can't imagine it would be as traumatic as if a man did it to the girl. You know, it's
well,
not the same thing,
yeah,
you know.
No, and, I'd be lying, like, what the fuck is going on here, man?
I'm telling you.
But, you know, but lately, that just brings up that one. But there have been three other women over the recent period that have been caught sexually molesting or having sexual affairs with schoolboys, you know, 14
those
and
are
16
teachers,
teachers. And these teachers are all of 26, 28 years old, 29 years old, and so on. I mean, but when you think about it, okay, I mean, your age, my age, Doug, your age, whatever, we're looking at a 25, 26, 28-year-old as still being a very young person.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so here are these women, or, you know, girls, I mean, they're young women having sex with 14, 15. Now, those boys, they're not little boys anymore.
No, they're not.
They're full grown. They're almost full grown men. They've got everything. Yeah. They've got all the tools. They know it. They probably know a lot more these days.
Yeah.
So that's why this seems to be coming out of the woodworks a lot. I remember when I was at high school, God, what was his name? Mr. Something. Anyway, he was our math teacher. And he was, I guess the girls thought he was like really, really hot and everything like that. But I remember one of our girls, her name was Allison Coe. Allison Coe. She was having sex with him after school almost every single day.
Wow.
No.
I'm not kidding.
See, I always wanted to
teacher?
Be. I always wanted to
he
be
was
a college
a teacher.
Professor.
Was he a good teacher?
Oh, actually, he was a very good teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was. But it was like no one. You know, it was no one. They were like, oh, they must be dating.
How old was she?
Oh, my God. We're only talking about 15. Oh, my God. We're only talking about 15 years old.
Wow. So that
And he was only probably in like 25
so
or
that's
20,
statutory,
26.
Yeah. Statutory rape right there.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, isn't that funny?
Yeah. Wow.
It's kind of weird, huh?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I suppose it is.
I can't even, I don't even think, at 20, 21, 22, you know, most guys brag. They say, oh, geez, oh, I'm 40, I'm dating a 21-year-old. You see this in Hollywood all the time. I look at a 20, 21-year-old and I think, geez, that's just too young. I mean,
that's way too young.
I'd mentally handicap them, you know?
Yeah.
Anybody under 30 ought to just stay away.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but... I mean, you know, sometimes they just, they're probably just gonna lie there and not enough experience, you know, and cause women really heat up when they're like in their 30s, you know? So,
and
the early 20s I found they didn't really know what to do in bed, you know?
I died.
They just kinda.
I died in my early 30s.
You died?
Yeah.
Really? Your libido went down?
Oh, man, really? It went to shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you on medication or something?
No, it's because
And you're admitting this online?
This is circumstances and so on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You just get
it takes a long freaking time. You know what? It got turned back on with William.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's it.
Sort of took you
it
out of that.
It usually occurs late 30s generally, I hear women are usually that's when they're in their sexual peak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about
30s,
that.
40s, man, yeah. They just all they want to do is fuck.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, shoo.
Yeah, I go to the old folks' home. It's just great there. They're standing in line for me. They can't run. They can't hide.
Yeah.
Give them a little shot in the arm. They're very docile.
Yeah, just bang them between the wrinkles.
What do you call that when a guy does that? What do you call that? Instead of statutory rape, it is?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's even a law against it.
Senior citizen rape.
Senior citizen rape.
You know what? I bet you any money that happens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like the
But you never hear about it, do you?
No.
There's no 60-year-old lady going, oh, my God, this 40, 20-year-old good-looking guy just raped me.
No. You know what? You're right.
That's right.
The old granny's going like, woohoo. I got some
come on back. Come on back.
I
can afford to take care of you.
Yeah, young tail, man.
Yeah. Look at my mother.
And the person who's doing the raping is the guy trying to get to the phone to call the police. Help, help.
Look at my mother, man.
She won't let me go. I was just in for a quickie.
Yeah. Doug, did you hear about that woman that stuck to her toilet seat after 2 years?
And it grew around her butt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... I've heard about it. I didn't see the woman or any of the photos.
No, I haven't either. They haven't shown
them. You know what? I wouldn't even want to see the photos.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
I mean, the fucking ass fused with the toilet seat.
That's just amazing.
You know? I mean, what the fuck?
I guess she was just afraid.
Seriously, that's just foul.
Yeah,
fear,
there you go.
She
fear.
Needed a life coach.
Yeah, she needed a life coach.
She needed a life coach. Yeah, she was afraid to
Mr.
get off
David
the toilet.
David Beck could have helped her, I'm sure.
I wonder what she was afraid of, having a bowel movement if she got off?
I don't know, but I would have been afraid of that fucking boyfriend that didn't call in for three years, you know? I mean, fuck.
Can you imagine? You think he was having sex with her? Think about that. She's stuck to the toilet seat.
I don't think they were having anything.
Are you sure? You know what? No, this guy sounds like he had a couple screw loose.
No. I think both of them did. I think both of them were mentally unstable.
A little slow.
I mean, yeah. Because, I mean, like, for one thing, this is my visual, okay? The only way that I can see a person actually happening, you know, that happening to, is an overly large woman. Right, and you can imagine a town like where they were, it's going to be a small-ass bathroom because he stated that he used to slide in food and drinks and give her some clothing. So if she had been stuck to the toilet, she would have had to be in arm's reach of getting hold of that food and so on.
Well, what because sort it, of clothing? Because she'd have to put her ass off the seat, so it must have just been like a
I
shirt.
I think it's just a shirt or
a
something
robe,
like that.
My
I don't
brother
know.
Wears a robe all day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Mr. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't know. So I just imagine, like, the bathroom being very small. But, I mean, like he is getting charged.
Yeah.
With neglect.
Oh, yeah.
He is?
Oh, yeah. He is getting charged. Oh, yeah.
Why? How old was she?
I mean, look.
Well, we don't know. We don't know how old she was or he
the
was.
The point is that if she had a problem, and so she was the sick one, it was up to him to seek help, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he didn't do anything, but...
Are they related? Were they related?
No, they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
No.
Yeah.
So he was just kind of using her for her place.
Who knows what the hell was going on?
Who owned the place? That's the question.
The thing is, the full story hasn't unfolded.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we don't know what happened there, but all I know is that she's walking around with the toilet seat stuck to her ass.
No, they did surgery to remove.
They did surgery to remove it.
It took surgery.
Okay. It took surgery, but I think she's in the worst condition that she's got is to do with her legs, because if you're sitting. And this is why you know what I mean, sitting for that
atrophy.
Period, then, I mean, her legs are gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this reminds me of a joke, okay? We're talking about, like, a toilet seat and stuff. This reminds me of a joke. It's sort of, like, outdated, but it's still funny, I think. You know, Mother Teresa died shortly after Princess Di. So she goes to heaven, and she's walking around, and she sees that Princess Di is walking around with a halo. You know, and she's like, she turns to that angel. She goes, "What do you mean? You know, I mean, I've done a lot more good. You know, why don't I have a halo?" He says, "It's not a halo; it's a steering wheel."
Oh no! I guess it would.
So anyway, this would have been funnier, closer to when the accident happened.
Do you know who invented the first flushing toilet?
Who?
Thomas Crapper.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not
was
kidding.
Was that his name?
That's
Crapper?
His name.
Really?
Thomas Crapper. Crapper, yeah.
Maybe that's why they call it a crapper.
I know.
This is funny. So, anyway, Doug, anything you want to add? So you leave in a Saturday again.
I leave Saturday morning, mm-hmm. and then I...
starting a new chapter in your life, pretty
I'm
much, right?
I'm going to start a new chapter. I'm trying.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't like it. Yeah. But
I'm going to help you with that.
Yeah, okay. Sam.
I'll be there with him.
Sam is going to help us expand all over the world.
Yeah, because I'm in a good place right now, so I can reach out and help you.
I'm
get
just
back
trying
to
get in a good place right now. That's all.
I'll show you where it is.
Trying to cut all my old ties and in with the new.
In with the new with a deja poo. Today we're gonna go. What's your poo telling you? This is something I've added to the show.
What's your poo telling you?
What's your poo telling you? It's called the deja vu poo.
The deja vu poo. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, haven't I seen that somewhere before? Most notoriously involving corn, deja vu poo is perhaps the most renown and befuddling of all poos. A deja poo is a bowel movement that has remarkably familiar portions of a recent meal embedded in it. This poo can include a pot puree of colors, often containing pieces of vegetables and other items that look as though they do not belong among the mass of poo in which they are entrenched.
Wow!
When producing this kind of turd, You may wonder whether you chewed sufficiently or whether your body extracted any other nutrients from your from your food you just ate. You may also wonder how your body can process heavy meats and pastas, but not an innocuous kernel of corn. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah, corn doesn't digest, you know.
Corn and peppers. If you look down, you're seeing red peppers in your poo, too.
Really?
Really?
That's why I don't eat peppers, man. So thank you so much for that enlightenment. You know, yeah. Doug, what would you have done without knowing that?
I would have absolutely. It's so important. That was so important to my life. I'll remember it. And so I'm very thankful that you shared that with me.
That's really important.
I think the next one, I'm going to cap on is Monster Poo another day.
Okay. We'll be looking forward to your Monster
I
Poo.
Know she's kinky, guys. No doubt about it.
All right, folks. Well, this marks another end of another show. And we're going to be out of here. Please stay tuned. BBS Talk Radio. We have Mark Mallory coming in with Navigation. And that's a cool show.
Hey, Mark.
And so we're going to leave. Doug, thanks again for coming in.
My pleasure.
Love to have you as always. And we will be seeing you tomorrow.